you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train Podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and always ride with me is my good homie, Mr. Patrick Irving. And remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the members, learn about that code of conduct that they created for Black America, learn how you can donate, how you can get involved, how you can get information or get items from their store. And there's a learning center tab, which is very, 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 very important. I keep stressing this tab with that drop-down box. And when that box dropped down, it got all these things like audio information, political information, book stuff, survival stuff, legal cases, all that stuff for you. So all you got to do is go to their website at www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, make sure y'all visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about me. I got a picture of myself with my shirt off. So, ladies, yeah, that's for y'all. Then you can learn about Patrick. You can learn about Queen Candace, Shelby Davis, and our homeboy Nick from September. All the greatest podcasters on earth under one umbrella. So, once again, that website is www.freedomtrainradio.com. And remember, I got my shirt off. So, with that being said, Pat, I know I hear you over there hating. Cause my shirt off on the website. I hear you. I hear it.
But why would I be?
Hey, cause just hey man, don't be trying to make me explain this stuff, dog. You just roll with it. All right, that's how I go. Anyways, so we got guests.
I got a question actually. Has anybody ever asked you to take your shirt off? Cause you keep talking about it being taken off. What is that?
Yeah, somebody in my whole life. Yeah. What you mean? In my whole life?
A recent occurrence?
I mean, no, but still, my whole life. Yeah. I mean, we don't got to focus on recent times. Let's focus on my life as a whole. It's about the quality of it, right?
I got you. So you were saying, I guess.
So we got some guests, our homegirls, our fellow podcasters here on the Freedom Train Network, the hostess with the mostesses of the Shelby's World podcast is Miss Queen Shelby Davis and Queen Candace. How y'all doing? Thank y'all for joining us right here on the Freedom Train podcast series.
It's a pleasure.
So, we linking up because, for one, we just wanted to have them on the podcast Y'all know how we do around here. We do what we want to do when we want to do it. But also, we're talking about that Rona. That's what black people call it, that Rona, or coronavirus, or more specifically, that COVID-19. We actually did a show about that in January 21st, to be exact. Patrick and I talked about COVID-19 on a podcast then, and we just want to pat ourselves on the back because we were ahead of the curve on that. So you know how that go, Pat. We the best, so we was ahead of the curve on that. So now that we can actually see what the global spread is of this COVID-19 specifically, or that Rona, it has affected over more than 140 countries. Pat, I don't want to spit out no wrong numbers, but how many global deaths, or how many global cases would you say coronavirus has right now?
Coronavirus has had a total of 300, and it's been over 330,000 total cases. There are about 220,000 active cases right now, and out of the 110,000 plus closed cases, 14,000 of them have resulted in 14,500 have resulted in the death, and so that's where we at right now.
Right. So that's this global spread. a lot of people, well, there are a lot of beliefs. So I want to start there with the beliefs, because there are a lot of beliefs about this coronavirus. And we're not acting as if we got all the answers on this podcast. We're having a logical discussion about what's going on and doing our best to make some sense of what's going on. But let's start there with the beliefs about the origin of the coronavirus, because we've heard some stuff that was just crazy as hell, and we heard some stuff that makes sense. So let's start with the crazy as hell first. And so, ladies first, we let y'all go first, because since y'all like yes. But what's the craziest stories y'all have heard so far about the origins of the coronavirus?
That black people can't get it.
Well, we know that ain't true.
Thank you. That's funny.
Now, yeah, because people were saying that a lot a couple weeks ago, too.
Mm-hmm. I was definitely thinking that there weren't a lot of cases with us getting it, but I had no intention of believing that we were immune to something such as getting the virus. But the craziest thing I heard was that that all this information is coming directly from the Pentagon.
So the Pentagon is behind the coronavirus, what they're saying.
Or that just any information that's being leaked to us is coming from the Pentagon.
I was thinking
that's some of the craziest stuff, the hysteria behind it.
Right.
And that bat.
What about you, Pat?
The origin is the bat.
We're going to come back to the bats. We're going to come back to that. Pat, because that's more on the logical side.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pat, what's the craziest thing you've heard so far about the origins of the coronavirus?
You already know.
I want you to say it.
5G is giving everybody the corona.
Hey, because that's mine, too.
Who?
Say it again. Break it down, because I know. Break it down.
So you know they've been building these new 5G towers all over the nation as they prepare to switch our wireless networks from 4G to 5G. So there's a school of thought out there of people that believe that those towers aren't actually for 5G. What they're actually doing is spreading the coronavirus to everybody in the area. Yeah.
See, the way my brain worked, my first thing would be, where your evidence to prove that? Because that's what I want to know with that. Like, where you found that at?
I can see it in black and white.
I mean, because that's some wild shit right there for somebody to be like, it come from the 5G towers. Like, I want to know how they heard that and how it made sense to their brain when they heard that. That's what I want to know.
Wow.
Like, really? Because that's stupid. That's stupid. I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's hard to even have a conversation about something like that, because you, instead of paying attention to what they're saying, you get lost trying to figure out, like, why do you believe this?
Right.
Like, and do you really believe it, or are you just fucking with me right now?
Right. So, that's wild.
Well, a little bit of both.
Yes.
Because I know I've heard, like, the U.S. government created it in a lab and then planted it in China. That's one of the things I've heard, I've seen through social media. I've read in articles and stuff that the U.S. government, I guess they secret agents, went over to China with the virus in the suitcase or something, and then got in and just I don't know how it got from in the people from that, but that's what the people are saying, that somebody in the U.S. government went over and planted it in China. So I'm like, I mean, you know, okay. I mean.
No, Joe. No, it's not okay.
I mean, okay, I mean, do I walk away from somebody? Like, when somebody tell you that, you just walk away? Like, how do what's the proper response? Y'all help me out. What's the proper response to some shit like that?
You just look at them like they stupid and walk away. Because even if you try to correct them, they ain't going to let you correct them because they already believe what they believe what they just told you.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
what a
coward, though? Coward?
Right.
Yeah, I can talk to people about the government stuff, but the tower stuff, the 5G towers, that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against listening to people have their own conspiracy theories. I'll listen. That don't mean I'm going to agree or I'm going to take away much from the conversation, but I'll listen. However, I cannot and I will not pretend to be interested in a conversation about towers giving spreading the coronavirus. I will not. I'm not going to even pretend to do that.
So do the towers. So is somebody on top of the towers like with a spray bottle spraying corona in the air, or is the towers like shooting the corona out of like us?
It's probably coming through the phone.
Your phone.
I mean, that make me have a lot more questions. So am I getting corona through my ear?
Yeah, right.
You get it through your mouth.
I get it through the mouthpiece in the phone.
Yeah, that's why you start.
So what if I'm using headphones then?
So this was the actual conversation, Pat? This is what you're telling me?
No. I did not engage in the conversation.
Okay.
We did not. I will engage in a lot of silly shit. Like, everybody that knows me knows this. I will not engage in stupid shit and dangerous shit. This crosses the line from being silly to being stupid. I don't feel stupid.
That is stupid. Like, that's one of the stupidest things I've heard about this. That probably is the stupidest.
Yeah, no, I don't like,
I just want to see that person's face when that information was being digested. And, like, did it resemble gas? Did it resemble diarrhea? Did it resemble a great thought? Did it resemble, because, you know, facial expressions tell a lot about information that you're taking in or stuff like that. So it's just like the whole experience of them when they heard this dumbass shit for the first time. And then a light bulb went off in their brain and they said, yeah, this some real shit. Like, what?
You know what? You know what I think is happening though, seriously? Is a bunch of things are happening that people are damn near 100% ignorant to. And they just trying to connect a bunch of dots in ways that they don't even know shouldn't be connected. So you really don't know shit about wireless signals or internet. You don't know the difference between 3G, 4G, or 5G, and you don't even know what the G stands for. So all of a sudden they building these towers. And in your mind, you like, why are they building the towers? They say we building the towers for the new 5G network. And in your mind, you're like, why do you need to build towers for another network? We already got all these fucking towers. Nah, what are you really doing? Boom, coronavirus hits. So now you're like, oh, shit. They've been building these towers, and now we're
pandemic. I am no way for fucking fashion. No way can connect the coronavirus to that.
But see, this is, I'm just saying, I think this is what's
happening. Your brain works different, though.
Like, they're like, coronavirus didn't hit before they started building these towers. And then you don't bother to go and research, like, when they started building the towers. You just assume that they started building the towers a little bit before the coronavirus hit, not realizing that they've been building these towers for years. But anyway.
For years. Yeah. So that's crazy.
That's what I think we got going on.
That's asinine.
People reaching for shit.
The only reason why I took away the bat, thinking the bat theory could work a little bit, because it's a black market of meat and undercover things that go on in these other countries. So I was like, okay, that could work, you know, because they eat a lot of uncooked foods or halfway cooked foods. You know, that happens. But the tower?
The bat theory is actually logical.
That is logical.
Because
I know. I can take away the bat theory and have some common sense behind that, but I can't. The tower thing just give me a headache.
Right, but see, like, I forgot the exact bat, but specific bats that they have over there in their live markets with all the animals and stuff intermingling and mixing together that they're eating. One specific type of bat over there, probably others that they just don't know about, carry the coronavirus. But we know that there's information on this one type of bat that has the coronavirus within the system. And if you are, especially like you said, eating them raw, you're eating bat soup, which we know, they're eating those things over there, that's more logical, especially in those big old markets that's not necessarily the best sanitary places. And people going in and out of those places. That make more sense, though. So, I mean, now we can't say that's the exact origin, but that make more sense.
Well, I don't even
definitely play more than towers.
I don't. You know, Joe. Normally, I try to play devil's advocate too, and but I just don't do stupid. The towers thing is stupid, and not only is it stupid, but it's dangerous because people running around here believing that will cause them to do something reckless to one of them towers under the premise that they protecting us all from the coronavirus. We already seen a man go into a goddamn pizzeria with a goddamn gun getting ready to kill people because he thought that there was a child trafficking ring inside of the pizzeria. Like, at this point in time, with people being as stupid as they are, we can't afford to have stupid ideas.
He didn't say that.
Like, so,
wait, Pat. You rewind?
Pat, you got to back up about the pizzeria thing. You got to tell the story.
Right.
Nah, that was during the whole run up through the election in 2016, there was a man who went into a pizzeria in DC that is kind of well known in the area. A lot of prominent politicians go there to eat. I think it was called Comet something or another. Anyways, so he went there. There was an alt-right conspiracy theory that Hillary Clinton and the Democrats had this underground child sex trafficking ring, and that the reason they all love going to this small pizzeria in D.C. is because the child sex trafficking ring operated out of the pizzeria, and so this guy decided that he was going to shut down the sex trafficking ring. So he took his gun and he went into the pizzeria with the intentions of shutting all that shit down. Now, I'm trying to remember the details. I don't think anybody actually got hurt. And the dude I remember was in his late 20s. He was right here from North Carolina. I know some rounds were shot. He fired off some rounds with his rifle. But I don't think anybody got hurt, anybody got hit, or anything like that. And then when they talked to him, they was like, you know, he went there to conduct his own investigation since the government wasn't doing anything, and he needed to figure out and he needed to save the children. And even after he had been arrested, he still viewed himself as the hero. So like this is the type of people that we have alive nowadays. Never mind the group of people who suited and booted themselves up to go down to the border to shoot the people coming over from the caravan because, you know, they had been riled up into thinking that it was an invading army and they were going to go with their rifles and protect the country. So, like, stuff like this is stupid. Somebody will be put some sort of homemade bomb at the base of one of them towers and blown one of them up and hurt people or potentially killed people and caused hundreds of millions of dollars in damage and be running around here thinking that they're doing the government a public service. Like, we can't be just flippant and silly yeah. with our words anymore because people are stupid.
Well, yeah, especially in these times.
Y'all ain't hear about the pizza thing?
Nah.
No.
Nah, that's crazy.
This is crazy.
Hey, man, people are stupid. People are stupid. Man. Hey, so let's talk about, like, more so logical things about the origin of the virus, though, real quick. Because just kind of some perspective and some information for those who may be listening, may not have looked or whatever, but we always encourage people to do their own research. But, Pat, I'll start with you. What's some logical theories or information out there about the origin of the coronavirus that you've come across?
I mean, there are really only two for me. The bat thing is logical because SARS, you know, SARS came from live markets, people eating bats and stuff like that. And so this is basically SARS 2019. And so that theory makes sense. And I will say that it could be manufactured. That makes sense as well. Now, I don't believe that it was manufactured. I will say that. But does it make sense that it could be manufactured? I think the answer is yes. We know governments have the ability to manufacture diseases and stuff like that. We know that they have done it before. And we know that there have been some really shady experimentations and things like that done, especially in the black community. It makes sense that it could be manufactured. But I believe it's a naturally evolving virus. I don't know where it came from. Like I said, the bat theory out of all of them actually makes the most sense to me, but I can't honestly say 100% that that's it because, you know, I'm not a researcher. I don't have a lab. I'm not an expert or one of the people that do that type of shit. So, you know, out of all of the theories that I've read about, those are the only two that make sense. And I've read about a good chunk of theories.
Right. Candace, what you heard? Well, what information you come across that you think made sense?
I came across
the
information Pat came across about the bat. I actually watched, what was it, 60 Minutes Australia, and they went on the black market in China and how China has all of these, like, warehouses of different wild animals all together in the heat, and when they slay the kill the animals, the blood and everything. They don't have on any gloves or anything. But it was a bat and it was another animal that they were saying that actually came up when they tested the
It looked like almost like an anteater type of animal.
Yeah, like an armadillo type, but it's bigger and the scales are bigger and it can roll up into a ball. I can't think of the name, but it's actually a mammal. They said it is a mammal. And that actually came up when they tested the ones that actually died. But other than that, everything else I don't believe. But the animals thing in China, I can see that. I can actually see that. And then that doctor that they talked about that actually started telling everything who ended up, he's dead now, though, that was over there in China. So,
A doctor ended up dead?
They say he blew the whistle on all of this, all of the whole coronavirus and what was going on, him and some students. But now they're saying he's dead, but they didn't really, like, go into detail on the 60 Minutes Australia. I'm gonna try to go back on YouTube and see if I actually find that, and I'll take.
So, doctor that originally found the coronavirus, I think he died from it, actually. Because in the early stages, as they were, like, sounding the alarm, the Chinese government was trying to keep everything quiet. And the healthcare workers in the area were refusing to be quiet. So there was some tension at the initial onset, because the government wanted one thing to happen and the doctors and the healthcare workers was like, this is an emergency. And so I think because at that time a lot of the healthcare workers were getting sick in China, and a good chunk of them were actually dying from it. And I think he was one of the ones that got sick. I think he got sick recently, though, and died. I think he died from the coronavirus, though, I think.
A lot going on with that.
Yeah, so Shelby, we talked about the bats. Anything else, any other information you come across about the origin?
Not anything in particular like that stands out, other than what y'all already kind of discussed, no.
Okay. Now, this is what I'm about to say. I'm not saying I believe this information, and I'm not saying I don't believe it. It's just information I've come across, and it has some logic to it. But somebody's saying it's created in the lab by the Chinese government, and the Chinese government kind of releasing it, and it's used to basically help boost China's economy. So, like I say, this is something that's in the middle. I ain't saying it's true or it's not true, but it's one of the things that, like, it was a video I was watching of this guy who's, he do analytics and all these things. And it's something that made me go, because he was talking about how, you know, the global impact that it's having, not just with the virus spreading, but the economic impact with the basic stock market. So we basically, like, working around like we in a recession. Would we say we, like, in a recession now?
We're not officially in a recession, but the market's in bear territory.
Right. Okay. And so,
the recession until some months later.
Yeah.
Okay. But he was alluding to China basically being able to benefit from their long-term recoup of this, because people would need China, especially with them being able, with them having a handle on the virus right now, and it's exploding here in the United States. He was saying in the end he believes that China will benefit financially from this. And so he believes they had a hand in getting this virus out. And I'm not saying that's true. I'm not saying that's not true.
Yeah.
But it's something to make you go, that's something to make you think about, though. But not spend too much time on it, but kind of put that in the vault and be like, you know.
I don't believe that.
Because everything do stop around the world, because everything is produced in China. So everything has really stopped because of the virus. So
what you were saying, Pat?
The only reason I don't believe that theory is because of the unpredictable nature of it. So, and what I mean by that is, if China created it and let it loose in their own country, they had no way of being able to determine how other countries would respond to it as it spread through their country. Because if the other countries had taken this thing seriously, and I'm going to go in my bag, I think one of the reasons they didn't is because the leader of the director of the World Health Organization is a black person, and they won't listen to no niggas. Now, I could be wrong in that, but that's just what I'm thinking. Anyways, if they had taken this thing seriously, it wouldn't have gotten out of hand. It would have stayed in China. If it did leak out, it would have leaked out in small numbers, to countries that would have been fully prepared to deal with it, and we wouldn't be facing a global pandemic. It would have been very similar to the SARS outbreak, which fizzled out after a couple of months back in 2003, I think it was, with only having 8,000 cases and whatnot. So obviously this is more infectious, so it would have done, you know, it still would have done more numbers, but it wouldn't have gotten to this level. And if they had taken it seriously and squashed it and stuck it in China, China would have been the only country to experience financial hardship. The idea that you're going to play Russian roulette with your own country, your own people, and your own economics for the opportunity to inflict damage on the world, that doesn't make sense. It's not a good risk reward analysis. You know, it's not a good risk assessment to do something like that. Now the idea that the United States planted it in China, that makes more sense to me, but it still doesn't quite make sense, because if the U.S. put it in China, then the U.S. would know what it's fully capable of, and we would protect ourselves from it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The way everything is falling out, it's hard for me to believe that this was done intentionally by any government, because all of the governments that have the capability of manufacturing a virus have been hit hard by the thing. So I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying that if any of these countries, the U.S., America, any of the European nations, any of the Middle Eastern nations, if any of those countries actually did that and released this into the wild, they're stupid.
Something to think about. One of the main things with this podcast is to spark thought and conversation. Make sure people have an intelligent conversation, not just saying anything, but intelligent conversation. So, how did we first hear about this in January? I don't remember.
I heard about it. It was one of them blurbs on NPR, the same way we heard about Cyclone Ida, Adai.
Okay. Okay.
You know, it was in between stories, and they meant, you know, like with Cyclone Adai, which we did the show on, it was in between stories, and they were like, Cyclone Adai has killed thousands of people and done over $1 billion in damage. And the Pope, is he a Nazi? It was some shit like that. Like, it was like, wait a second, go back. Wait, what did you just... So, with the coronavirus thing, it was just like, there's a massive outbreak in Wuhan, and we're keeping an eye on it. And back to this story. And it was like, wait, that's the story. Go back. Like, what are y'all talking... So that's how I heard about it. I don't know how you heard about it, but I know we talked about it, and we was like, let's just mention it. Because I know at the time, like, Chinese New Year was coming up, and the concern was that there would be a bunch of people going into China for Chinese New Year and then leaving China.
Yeah. I remember.
And then bringing the virus with them. So that, if it was going to spread, that's how I thought it was going to spread, because nobody was really talking about it. I didn't anticipate what happened, if that makes sense.
I got you. So, Candace and Shelby, did you all hear about it before it got out of hand? Like, did y'all come across any coronavirus information like two months ago or even a month ago?
Well, I saw it when Kobe died. It was an article in the paper where it was like this really huge headline of Kobe, and then a little tiny little snippet off to the side, the coronavirus has now become an outbreak in China. Like, that was it. It was a tiny little article. So, and they was basically talking about how it spread, how it was spreading throughout. We're talking about the Wuhan, that's what it is, that area.
Wuhan.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Candace?
Oh, I don't know anything about it.
Okay. So, all right, United States has done a horrible job and a lot of other Western countries have done a horrible job of being prepared for this, because we know the United States government knew about it in January. Hell, if we knew about it, they knew about it. So we know they knew about it, but they didn't really do a lot to prepare for it. Do you all, and by no means I'm not asking y'all to answer this from like some expert point of view, but just from what you were seeing, from information you come across, do any of you feel like we're going to be able to contain this anytime soon? And if you do believe we'll be able to contain it, how do you believe the United States will be able to contain it? And like what time frame do you think would you expect it to be contained in?
What?
I thought he said ladies first.
Oh, I didn't hear that part. Sorry. I was just thinking that you would start that off.
Oh, well, do I think the government is going to be able to contain it? That's the first question, right?
Right. And if so, what's the time frame?
No, I think containment is already out the bag. We are seeing thousands of new cases every single day. The numbers yesterday were at 24,000. So far, the numbers today are at 32,000, I believe.
Hold on, time out. It was just 14,000 when we was talking earlier.
Yeah. So, no.
I thought it was 14,000 deaths.
No, it was saying that there were 14,000 new cases, but I also said I had to refresh my thing. So
okay.
But like right now, we're over 30,000 new cases. So from yesterday at 24 to today at well over 30,000, containment is already like done. And then on top of that, with no testing happening, it's impossible to contain it because you don't even know who the fuck got it. You know what I'm saying? Sure. Like, and this ain't like no fucking like STD where you could just say like don't have sex and you'll be safe. No, like this shit is fucking everywhere. So, you know, we could all have it on this line right now and not even know it. And if you listening to us and you got 5G in your neighborhood, you probably got it too.
You got it.
Oh my god!
And you eat peanut butter and jelly.
So
you got that Rona.
So
I just ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich 2 minutes ago.
Well, you got Rona.
Oh my god!
But do you have the 5G tower? See, because peanut butter and jelly is a conduit along with the 5G tower.
I don't believe in the 5G tower crap.
Well,
because you got to open your mind, Shelby.
Like, it believe in you even if you don't believe in it. So I think best case scenario right now is because containment is done. It's in all 50 states.
Right.
So containment on a national level has already failed. Like, if it was only in one or two states, then maybe less than 10 states, I would say containment is. But containment has already failed and is growing rapidly in every state. And there still hasn't been widespread testing. You see how people are responding to social distancing. They're not. So, like, containment has already failed. The best they can hope to do now is flatten the contagious, are flattening the curve, so that the healthcare system isn't overwhelmed. But the downside to flattening the curve is, okay, so now you aren't going to see a spike in increased new cases, but you're going to see a prolonged instance of new cases, meaning that we're going to be dealing with this for a lot longer. So I think that's the best case scenario. What was the second question?
The time. I was saying if you believe containment will happen, time frame. Yeah.
Well, I don't believe in containment. I do believe it's possible to get it under control. But in order to do that, you're going to need to do testing. Until they roll out full-scale testing that isn't like where you don't have to already be showing symptoms, which is just retarded to me Why would you require people to be showing symptoms before you test them for a disease that can be transmitted before they start showing symptoms? That is the dumbest shit in the world. You know, like what? That's the equivalent of saying, I can't test you for HIV until somebody that you sleep with tests positive for HIV. Do you realize how retarded that would be if people said that? Like I can't test you until you have sex with somebody that tested positive. So if you want to get an HIV test, here's a list of people that tested positive. Go fuck one of them, and then come back, and I'll test you.
Right.
Yeah. So this shit is ridiculous, Joe. We can't. There's no time frame to give, and I don't. That's my opinion. Anyway, that's my
right,
opinion.
Right. Right. So, do any of you ladies feel like it could be? Candace, I start with you. You feel like, because like we said, the government already fucked up. It's already fucked up. But do you feel like with the efforts and things that they're doing now, estimation you come across, that this can be slowed down?
I don't know. I work in healthcare, so I really don't know. My thing is, everybody wash your hands, all of this. You should have been washing your hands and not sanitizing all of that stuff. But yeah. I don't know. I really don't know. People are going to go out and do what they want to do. You could tell them to stay home and stuff like that.
We're going to get to that next.
And people still out here doing everything.
Yeah. So, Shelby, you think it could be slowed down anytime soon? You believe so?
I don't know. The method of, Pat said, containment is kind of like impossible now because you go from one thing to saying that this can be under control and all that, but like you said, we're not testing people. We're not doing things to see what's going on with people. You could be sitting right next to somebody who got it and don't even know it. But my thought process on it was, if they really wanted this contained, they would have, like, hit the ground running with this situation. And not saying that they wanted it to be as widespread. I just don't think that they thought that it was going to be as invasive as it is and as big as it is. So I don't think containment can happen at this point because, like, we don't even know where to begin with the testing situation. We don't even know how to start that and start making people come in to get tested. We don't even have enough tests to test people. I don't know. This just seems like this is out of control to me.
So does anybody know how the hell China was able to slow it down?
Because they're coming.
They quarantine people.
Mm-hmm. So what the hell is wrong with that? Why?
They actually, like, when they're going into restaurants and all of that, they actually, like, taking people's temperature and everything. And I think if your temperature over a certain, if you're running a fever, like, they turn you around. It's a lot of stuff that they were doing, even to the point in restaurants that me and you sitting down at a table, they putting a glass in front of us. So that 6 feet that everybody talking, or however many feet everybody talking about away from each other, that's what they're doing. And it's a whole, they got all these masks and gloves and, but you're wearing gloves. If you have it, you didn't cough in your hand. You don't know you have it. You didn't want to touch stuff. You didn't spread it.
Right.
People are not taking it serious because even here, they're not even following the rules of saying just takeout only. I pass by restaurants, they pack. They're not taking it serious. And you can spread so many ways and get this disease spread in so many ways just through the exposure of food and silverware. I mean, just because that's what people are touching. How can we not take this serious? You got to close the restaurants down. Be serious about this stuff. And I understand it's going to affect jobs, but when it comes to something like that can be as widespread as this is, and we're at a global pandemic of 300 and some thousand people that this has affected, touched, that's a lot of people. I don't care what the number could rise to. That's a lot of people already. But we're not doing our part in this country to slow down the process of it.
So what the hell is fundamentally? Go ahead, Pat.
I was just gonna say, I think that for me, and I agree with both. You know, I agree with what they just said. the China angle, that's a whole nother show in and of itself, because then you're getting down to the culture of the people. They're a lot more considerate of each other in a lot of regards.
Mm-hmm.
Like them talk about why they wear masks. They don't wear and we've all seen the videos of them wearing the mask. They openly say, I don't wear the mask to protect me. I wear the mask to protect everybody around me in case I'm sick.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk to Americans about why they wear masks, they wear masks to protect themselves. There's a fundamental difference in the mindset there between those two people. Well, one person will say, I am willing to stay in my house. I am willing to wash my hands. I am willing to wear a mask. I am willing to do all of these things that are inconvenient to me because it's for the betterment of everybody around me. And then you have another person saying that I'm willing to do what's best for me. Fuck all of y'all. And so, like, but even to that, so that's the cultural issue, which, again, is so deep. But then China being a communist nation, their national, the strength and power and structure of their national government allows them to do things that America just can't do. Like, China can shut down the entire nation and enforce having everybody in their house, in their houses. If America tried to do that, not only would Americans not listen culturally, but two, states and cities would sue the federal government. That would be declared unconstitutional. It wouldn't be permitted legally. So there are just so many differences between the nations. Like, even to that, health care is a big deal for them, and that might be because their population is an older population. It might be because they already have a nationally set up health care system, something we don't have. But for a bunch of different reasons, healthcare is already well-funded and a strong institutionalized thing for them. For us, healthcare is a hodgepodge of bullshit. So Queen Candace works there. Obviously, she can go in more detail than I can, and she might not even agree with it. But from my perspective, healthcare in America is a hodgepodge of bullshit. It's been severely underfunded, especially during the Trump administration, where he's cut funding for a lot of healthcare-oriented organizations like the CDC and the FDA. He's gutted a lot of these organizations, and the federal funding that a lot of hospitals and other things are getting has been slashed or reduced. Well, they mean the same thing. But so, you know, we don't even have the resources or the structure in place to do a lot of the things that, I mean, Joe, don't forget, these motherfuckers went over there and built two full functioning hospitals in 2 weeks. Like, they did that shit.
But before we get too far, so, because there's a fundamental issue here in America, like, for motherfuckers not practicing social distancing. Because I'm scrolling social media, I'm seeing people going to the beach, I'm seeing people still going to the club, all these things. Like, why? So, Pat, you're saying there's a social difference. To the club, yeah, motherfuckers going to the club.
What club?
Yeah, some clubs in these little country towns. So why?
Is it still
like,
going on cruises?
Is it like really like you feel like it's a cultural difference or thing like that? Why Americans can't stay their asses home?
I think Americans have a strong rebellious nature. It's something that is encouraged in America. Be rebellious. Be different. If somebody, you know, you think about how many times we hear people say, if somebody tells me I can't do this, then I'm going to do it anyway just to prove them wrong. And in a lot of aspects of life, that is a good thing because you don't want other people controlling your fate, controlling your future, you know. But in a lot of other aspects, that same mentality becomes a problem. Like if we in a pandemic, and somebody tell you to stay your ass home. That
right.
is not
so
the time
that
for you to be like, you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to go out just because you said stay home.
But yeah, but that shit don't make no sense. So, like, so ladies, do you all agree, disagree with that? You got anything to add to that? Why motherfuckers can't stay their asses home?
I, 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 I'm,
I don't understand. I mean, they're telling us that this disease, I don't know if it's true or not, but I read that this disease can be, the way that it kills you, obviously, is faster than any other immune deficiency disease right now that's going on, that's taking place. But if they're telling you that the effects that it has on you is way stronger than a person that has AIDS, come on. I don't want to be fucked up with that. I don't know about y'all. That's enough to make me want to just stay home alone. I don't care if that's a lie. I just don't understand this. I don't understand this whole concept of we can do whatever we want to do, even if it causes others harm along the way. And that's pretty much what I'm gathering with what's going on. Nobody seems to care that them being around other people, regardless of if they're passing on something or not, can cause somebody else harm or danger. This is crazy.
Yeah. I just don't get it. The shit ain't that hard for me. It's a virus that we really don't fully understand that's affecting a whole bunch of people across the country. How about you stay away from large crowds, stay away from people, practice social distancing, 6 feet, do all that stuff there. My initial thought isn't hell, but let me go to the beach or let me leave the house or let me travel. Like, I don't get it with people. Like, it's not that hard. I understand what you're saying, Pat, about the rebellious nature of America. I do agree with that, but God damn, at some point, like, real common sense or whatever need to kick in. Like, I don't get it. Like, I'm like, even churches and stuff, I don't care. None of these places, like, practice social distancing. I mean, there are many different ways that people can do things, fellowship through different mediums, especially if it has to be done. But, like, God damn, I don't get it. Because we already know that there's not enough supplies for everybody in the United States. We already know that. So if you get it now, what?
You know, another component of that, too, is that it's been downplayed for so long. I think we got to play catch-up. Like, let's not forget, 2 or 3 weeks ago, the President of the United States was calling it a Democratic hoax. Only a couple days before that, and even for a couple days after that, a couple, you know, weeks after that, because it really hasn't been until maybe the last 2 weeks that the federal government has been taking it seriously. So all the way up until then, oh, it's a hoax, and then it became, oh, well, it'll just go away. You don't have to do anything different, it'll just go away. And let us also not forget that this dude was on TV telling people it's okay to go to work sick. Like, even if we're not in the middle of a pandemic, it is not okay to go to work sick. Like, I don't care if you just got a cold. I don't want to catch your fucking cold. Stay your ass home. Like, so, you know, I think we're playing catch up in that regard, too. The federal government just started taking it seriously. And so there are a lot of people out there who, because of their office and because of the power and prestige of the offices held by the people that are speaking, people are taking what's being said as fact. Oh, well, he the president. He know more about what's going on than I do. So if he not taking it seriously, why should I take it? And then you got all of those other people who were taking it seriously but were saying that it's not much worse than the flu. And so now you got a bunch of young people that are out like, well, I've had the flu before, or it's not really a threat to me, or they're not even thinking about the fact that, yeah, you might survive. But what happens if you go and see your mom or your grandma, or you go see somebody with a compromised immune system and you give it to them? You're like, then what happens?
Right. Right.
Like, just aren't thinking a lot, but that goes back to cultural difference. People that think about doing what's best for society as a whole, and people that are thinking about doing what they want to do.
I mean, Just looking at it from an economic standpoint as well, like, the stock market is trash. I'm looking at my stocks, man. I had to remind myself what the hell was going on, because when I go back and look at my stuff, I'm like, God damn, coronavirus. I'm like, damn, what the hell happened to my stuff? Yeah. So we know when white America get a cold, black America get coronavirus. We're going to start saying that. Right. So
these give us just a salute.
We get that wrong.
What'd you call it? The Kung Flu?
Yeah. That's funny. That is funny. I'm sorry. Whoever was the person that said Kung Flu is wrong, but that's funny as hell. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you wrong as shit.
Yeah, but that's funny. Like, and I'm dying laughing about that in private. But I mean, so economically, like I'm saying, like, do you? Because there's a lot of jobs shut down. So Candace, you do hair and makeup and different things like that. How has that affected your business? So far, how has it affected?
I ain't shut down because, see, I don't have that much clientele as far as coming in. And then if you come to me, it's just me and you. I don't have 6-7 people in the salon with me at one time waiting on me to finish one client. So most of my stuff is like one-on-one, only by appointment. But with my nursing stuff, it's kind of getting crazy because I'm independent doing that, but I contract with this company, and it's getting to the point now that if you have a case with a patient and it's a 24-hour case and they have 3 shifts that come, the third shift is getting the second shift is getting cut out. That's the person that don't have a job, and we have to be careful because we're dealing with the handicapped and we're dealing with the elderly. That's half of them, majority of them already sick anyway. So before, I know one client, before I could even walk in the house, I got to sanitize my hands, wipe the doorknob with the Lysol. Darn near got to spray Lysol on your clothes before you walk in the door. So it's crazy, but I get it. I do get it. I don't want to be sick because you have people coming out of family members coming to visit people. You don't know if they got it. Some of my clients, they not even let people come and visit their parents. If they're like, no, this is going on. We have to protect the caregiver that's here, and we got to protect ourselves and the patient that we might be taking care of. So it's a lot, but I do know I just got a message from Apostle that I'm close to, and she was saying she's in Georgia, and how like the hair salons, the barbershop, and all of that just shut down. And people mad because this is how people make their money. They don't have a second income like I have a second income. Not a lot of them.
Right.
So it's like, what do you do? And when it comes to the beauty and fashion industry and all of that, some of that stuff that we get is produced in China. So we probably really won't start feeling the effects of everything until some months down the road. But we go back to us as a community, us black people, we don't have a savings that can last us 6 months out. A lot of us live in check to check.
Right.
So it's like that won't affect us in 6 months. That might be affecting us next week.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, especially mm-hmm. like everybody who, because it's really affecting a lot of industries. So how do you think like the overall effect on black people will be, let's say like a year from now or maybe even 2 years from now with this economic turmoil that we have right now with the coronavirus? Like, what you think, Chef?
Repeat that again, Joe. I got the ending part. What you said in the beginning?
How do you feel like this economic turmoil will affect black people maybe a year or 2 years down the line? Because a lot of people are losing jobs. A lot of people have to shut down certain things. But just focusing on black people as a whole, how do you feel like it's going to affect us?
Economically... Financially, I think it's already kicking in. That effect is already kicking in because, like you said, a lot of the jobs are closing down. That is going on. So it's kind of beneficial to a lot of the families that school has closed and or daycare has closed because it's saving them money in that retrospect because they're not working to cover a lot of those expenses right now. I do think, you know, in the next coming days, the next couple of months, is going to show the true effect on where people are. And within a year, it'll probably be a little bit worse, because if there's no bounce back regimen set in place, then the society is not going to just quadruply get itself back together. So, because, you know, people can't just hire people if the money isn't there to hire you. They ain't been working, they ain't got no money there to start paying people. So it's almost like I think it's going to be like a whole starting over procedure for a lot of us. Now, as far as economically, black people as a whole have always faced a downside in this country. A struggle mechanism, they're going to make it happen. So I think economically, this could be our time to, and I know it's very, very, very optimistic of me to just feel this way, but this could be our time that we can start exposing ourselves to helping each other a little bit more in these times, because some of us are in a position to help others. And I do think this will be a time to start showing some of that concern. And we don't see it a lot on being displayed, but it is happening already, where we're picking up the pieces in other people's lives right now when they need it, especially at this diligent moment. So, I do think it's going to be tough for us, but economically, we are survivors. We can make it happen. It's just on how we're proceeding to do it. So.
What you think, Pat? From an economic standpoint, how you feel it affect us?
I'm gonna be honest. As a community, I don't think it will affect us significantly economically, only because when you look at the numbers, black people are already on the road to having a collective net wealth of $0 and 0 cents by the year 2040 or 2050, I think it is. So it's not like you can get any broker than not having any wealth. So
right.
Individuals are going to get hit. I do believe that. And it's going to vary depending on where you are and what you're doing. But as a community, I don't see it having a huge economic impact on us. Now, if you want to talk about psychological, moral, cultural, or any of those other LY words, that's a separate conversation. But just purely based off economics and what it's going to do to our communal dollars and cents, not even talking about, like, opportunities that might open up, because I do think opportunities are going to be opened up. But yeah, I don't see where there's any space for it to have any impact. Like, it can't get worse than it already is for us. Like, I'm talking about the outlook.
I guess I was thinking about it from a standpoint of more black people will become poor, because we know the collective thing, black people don't have enough wealth in this country. But like those who may have been making
here,
it,
Joe,
those who
Define poor.
Well, those there's a lot of jobless, homeless people out here already. There's a lot of black people who are doing real bad economically, don't have jobs, things like that. I'm thinking from the standpoint of those who do have jobs who are just over broke with jobs. And with this current climate right here, with this coronavirus, it'll create more black people who don't have jobs and more people who would become homeless because of the financial situations. That's what I was thinking.
I just think there's a small difference between being unemployed and being underemployed. And I'm not so sure that it's a positive difference. I mean, is it a positive difference that you have a job that takes up 8 to 12 hours of your day?
Well, it is if it provides you shelter and food versus you not having shelter and food.
This is what I'm getting at. But this is what I'm getting at. And that, not that's a separate conversation, because I was going to get into the trap of government assistance, which does become a trap on a lot of levels. And when you start talking about jobs and employment and all that other stuff for people that are in that bracket, you run into a difficult question that they all face, which is, you know, do I get a job that's slightly better? I'm still underemployed. It's slightly better, but what I'm going to lose in government assistance, is that going to be worth this extra job? And is it going to make my situation worse? And I'm not saying that's the majority of black people. I'm not. But when we start talking about, like, in this conversation about poverty, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of, I don't see there being a huge difference between being underemployed and working at a job making minimum wage, or, you know, even a dollar more than minimum wage, and not having a job at all, but being out there trying to hustle or trying to make your money the best way you can make it. And because I'm people that just, they don't have a job and they're not doing nothing at all with their life, I'm really not even including those people in the conversation. I don't worry about those people because they're not worried about themselves. I'm talking about
right.
people
okay.
who are out here trying to make moves, and they got to make a decision. Do I want to have a job, eat up 8 hours a day that I could spend making moves, doing something else? Or, you know, like, there are a bunch of other different things to consider. But in the grand scheme of things, so when you start talking about unemployed, that's where my mind goes. Because before I was self-employed, I was unemployed. But there wasn't really a difference in my income from the time I quit my job to the time I started my business, because I quit my job to hustle. I just didn't have a formalized business yet. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you.
And so I think there are a lot of black people out there like that who this corona thing is going to affect them. But if I go from what I'm making now to being broke, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't even move the needle for the community. So if you want to have a conversation about, like, individuals, we can have that conversation. But as far as, like, a communal conversation about what this is going to do to black people as a community, okay, unemployment numbers are going to tick up. I do believe unemployment numbers are going to tick
right.
up. I believe weekly incomes and monthly incomes, I believe income in general is going to go down. I believe there will be an increase in people on government assistance. But as far as the overall economic outlook, I don't believe any of that
yeah.
is going to change anything.
Well, like you're saying, though, from the individualistic point and those points that you just made, I don't think the wealth will get, I mean, the lack of wealth will move anything. But I do think, like you said, more people will be homeless, more people will lose jobs, more people will be struggling. But overall, because it's an unfortunate time, but this is something that could have been better prepared for, and that's one of the things that we have to look at. But also, as black people, how do we, and I hate to keep asking these questions, because I feel like it feel like everybody's asking these same questions. It feels like decades and decades and decades these questions are being asked. But so how do we, not even as a whole, but within different communities and different fractions of black people who decide to work together that's on the same page, what's the lesson learned from this, and how do we move forward? And do we even, are we even at a point where we can ask those questions?
No.
What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Shelby. I say no.
No, we're not at a point to ask these questions because we just don't know enough.
Enough hasn't happened yet for us to know exactly where we are. And that's like just globally or even statewide. We don't know what's going on statewide enough to say where we're at. You know what I'm saying? Like, we just don't know. It's not enough information released. Most of the things that's been talked about are on a statewide level, but it's not like, well, I can't say statewide, I would say citywide. We can't speak on what's really going on in our own community enough to guess what's going on, where this thing could be in the next couple months or how we can recover from it. There's not enough information yet.
So I agree.
I think if everything were to end right now, the only conclusion I would have is that I should have bought toilet paper and been ready to sell it.
Yeah, there are a lot of questions out there that are left unanswered right now because it happened kind of fast. But I don't know, man. Shit, I don't know. It's crazy. I do want people to stop coming up with their own conclusions just based off of how they feel and actually let any hypothesis that they come up with at least be based in some kind of fact. Because, like, the 5G stuff, well, that's dumb as hell. And a lot of the other different governmental schemes and scams that people have going on. But also, people who continue to go outside and just do whatever, like, gathering in mass crowds and just doing all these things, like people got to have more goddamn common sense, or like I feel. Well, let me. In saying that too, made me think about earlier in the week or even last week when people were talking about martial law being an option for this. Can we address that real quick? The martial law thing, like. Would martial law be something suitable to help curb the outbreak or to make sure people stay inside? Or I don't know how true that video is, but in Russia when they released the lions and tigers in the street, do America need to release tigers in the street to get people to stay inside? you seen that video, Shelby?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. But I mean, like, is martial law something that should be thought about to keep people inside, or no, or is that thinking too much over the edge? And this is not me asking this just because I think it should, but just for some of the theories that were out.
I don't know how in depth we have to go with it as far as having control over our streets and doing things. But I do think that there needs to be a really insightful curfew imposed, or maybe just the people, first responders and people that have to be out there, maybe the medical field, you know, those are the people that need to, like, be out there more so than anyone. Other than that, I think there does need to be some type of strict enforcement that says you need to stay in your homes until we get this under control. Because we can't control an outbreak if we don't know where the outbreaks are. And this can go on for a while until we just get a little bit more control over this. So I don't know. The disease alone is causing a lot more issues. I'm worried about people's social, mental. Like a lot, I'm worried more about that than I am about people eating and surviving, because we're not going to let people just completely starve. If they set up these camps and stuff, they're going to feed these people. They're going to give them meals. We're not worried about that. It's more so what's happening to them when they close up in the house with their kids and or with their grandparents, or when it does get to the point where they don't have any food at all and they're ready to go out and rob and kill. I mean, I'm worried about that kind of stuff. Not because at this point we just don't know where everything else is going.
But yeah, on that pet, like the martial law thing or whatever needs to be in place. Should it be an option or whatever?
Not national martial law. And I don't even know that, again, that goes back to, like, Lincoln imposed national martial law during the Civil War to suspend habeas corpus, and that was challenged in the Supreme Court, and it was found unconstitutional in areas where local courts were still operating. And that's the problem you run into a national, any sort of national directive in America, is that in effect, each state is its own nation. and they're all united and legally in honor bound, for whatever that word means, to, you know, be held together by the federal government. But there's a clear difference between federal powers and state powers, and anytime you start talking about a national martial law, you start talking about a legal battle between the national government and the federal government that the federal government does not have a good track record of winning. Because you're also at that point talking about the military taking direct control of governing a location. And in America, anyways, the head of the military would be the president, but that places us in a de facto dictatorship. There are too many issues that come up with a national martial law declaration for me to even say that it would be an answer right now, because I think it would cause so many questions and it would spur up so many passions that I don't know that it would really do any good. Now, a statewide declaration or even a citywide declaration, I think, is more realistic, but that's going to differ state by state, city by city, because some cities might be more willing to acquiesce to a martial law declaration. And other cities, if you declare, or states, if you declare a state of martial law, them National Guardsmen better have real bullets in their gun. Because, you know, it's going to go down. But do I think it... I'm not even sure that it's scary. It's very scary. And I don't even know that even in all of that, it would benefit us any. Because I think it would do more harm than good. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. Like, I think people keep forgetting, like, where we live. We live in America, a country that don't like to be told nothing. I mean, we still think we're the greatest country in the world, despite all of the data saying that's simply not true. Like, we just don't like to be told anything. And so when you start getting down to positions to where, like, Trump supporters might love martial law because they love Trump. But everybody that hates Trump is going to be like, no, fuck that. This is not. And it'd be the same way even if Obama was president. People that loved Obama would be like, yeah, martial law, let's do it. And the people that didn't like Obama or didn't rob him as hard would be like, no, fuck that. Like, that's the nature of the beast in America. Need to be more worried about what your mayor is going to do. Be more worried about what legislative bodies in your cities and counties are going to do, and definitely be worried about what your governor is going to do. Those things are a lot more significant than whatever, you know, Cheeto is doing.
Cheeto short stab. Cool, cool. So, I think we covered a lot of ground on this podcast today, going from the origins of it to the overall impact of it.
Joe, where your energy at, bro? You've been real low energy today.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you have.
You know, don't be critiquing my energy, bro. You don't know me, though.
Oh, straight critiquing your energy, man. You've been real low energy today. What's going on, bro? What's her name?
This song on you.
What's her name?
What's who name?
The girl that hurt you.
Bro, I'm a player, though. I ain't never been hurt. I've never cried a day in my life.
Okay, Diamond.
Tears. What's tears? My eyes don't even get wet. You know what I'm talking about?
I think you, dog. My bad. My bad. You know what? I violated. You're right. I'm sorry.
I'm from Grove Street, bro.
Is there a Grove Street in Tallahassee? Real question.
I think so. Yeah, it is. It actually is.
It actually is. He's talking about, I think so.
Yeah. And then somebody named CJ might live on that street as well, so who knows? Real quick, Shelby, tell them about your podcast. Tell them about the podcast, where they can find and everything, what you got going on with the podcast.
Well, Queen Candace and I have been doing really, really well with the podcast lately. We've been kind of doing a little bit more factual things on our podcast, not just opinion-based. We've had some live interviews. We're looking forward to another interview this week, and we're probably going to do some audio of any interview if she's not able to come in. I'll find out tomorrow what that's going to be like. But it's growing. We're enjoying it, doing the show. Queen, you got anything you want to say about that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can catch us on Instagram at underscore Shelby's World podcast. You can catch us on Freedom Train Network, freedomtrainradio.com, and we're under, our podcast is listed there, and it's on all the major podcast networks. That's all I got, Queen.
Cool. I think she had to do something real quick. So, but anyway, you handled it. and tell them what day your podcast come out.
Every Wednesday. We do every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday. Yeah. Every Wednesday, mm-hmm. For the Train Network. Make sure y'all holler at us on the holler at those ladies on the ones and twos, but holler at us overall for the Freedom Train Network. Pat, tell them about your lessons from the screen real quick.
Lessons from the screen, what you mean, what we go through. Anyways, lessons from the screen. Y'all already know what it is because you already listen, and if you don't, you a sucker fish. How about that? Kill me outside. How about that?
Booyah.
In your face, sucker. You know what it is. Lessons from the screen. All that everyday Burrow style. Brr, Birdman, you heard him?
Yeah.
That's what the battle rappers be doing when they be like, hey, my dude on the right, tell him about yourself. And he be like, Ace Poon body bag. You feel me? Bird gang. All day, everyday. Ran Street, West Side, Old Cali. You know what it is. Everybody heard me. All my real niggas stand up. You heard it.
Stand up. There it is.
So that's how anytime somebody asks me about my podcast, I'm not on. That's like, because it's for the culture. It's for the culture.
What I'm going to do.
I'm going to be like, yo, lessons from the screen. You already know what it is. LFTS. Freedom Train Radio. You know what I'm saying. Put them
straight for white culture.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, lessons from the screen for white culture.
We pop tags, we pop back. What it is all day.
For white culture.
See, he ain't even catch that. He ain't even catch it.
I don't know. I'm just
Nah, don't ignore me, bro. Hey, man, y'all make sure y'all check out the Fix Sports Podcast. Every Monday, the realest, blackest, funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. If you ain't listening to my sports show, you ain't listening to no sports show, because I'm giving it to you how it's supposed to be given to you. And this upcoming show, the Detroit Lions coach, Matt Patricia, has made my weekly rant for what he said to Darius Slay, but I had to give Darius Slay a little bit of the juice, too, because you're a grown-ass man, and you let that white man talk to you like that, and you just not coming out by the 2 years ago, and you let that white man talk to you like that? So I'm going in on it. So it's coming out. It's going to be available tomorrow on Monday, freedomtrainradio.com, all your podcast platforms, anything like that. And just in case hard times do come through with this Rona, you can catch me on onlyfans.com/toothpickslanger, and I got them videos for you. So,
oh, my God.
onlyfans.com/toothpickslanger, SLANGA. So, there you go.
You got to. You going to have to change that name, Joe. That don't sound like you want somebody to follow you.
What did you say? Toothpick slanger?
Toothpick, because y'all not thinking about the utility of, see, you use a toothpick to get up in there and get the job done, right?
No.
They're not thinking about that either when they're going through your name.
They don't matter. See, I'm going to sell it right, though. I'm going to sell it right. Appreciate the concerns. Hey, man. I just got to put out the right picks, and, you know, follow me on Twitter, a.k.a., butt naked. Hey, man. Hey,
oh,
Candace.
I do want to say, y'all definitely go ahead and head over to the LFTS. You know what I'm saying? We dropped the show on the QAnons, the people that basically worship Donald Trump. It's a long show, but you know we try and get into the nitty gritty. You feels me? So what we doing nowadays, yo, is since everybody at home locked down, we try to keep y'all from making babies.
So listen to the podcast,
you know, check that out. It'll give you something to do other than look at your partner and be like, I'm trying to get up in that, I'm trying to get on that. You feel me? So, or you could do both, you know what I'm saying? You can get loose while you listen to the podcast. But go ahead and check that
Speaking of that, any ladies out there trying to make some quarantine babies, holler at me. I already got names picked out. Ron, Rona, Ronisha, and Corinthia. Four kids' names, so holler at me if you're trying to make some corona babies. I got you.
Shoot the
been
club.
Been saving up for a time like this.
Shoot the club, look.
There you go.
Shoot the club.
Hey, man. Candace Shep, we appreciate y'all coming through the podcast and talking about this rona with us.
Back. Queen Candace.
Yes, appreciate being here.
She bite. So we appreciate y'all chopping it up on about that rona. So you know how we do, man. This is the Freedom Train podcast every Wednesday. Y'all make sure y'all check it out. Two fingers in the air like a player, because what? We is up out of here. Better act like you know.
Hey, I'm going to do my Freedom Train bars over the outro.
You ain't going to do it.
I'm doing it right now.
Do it.
45 bars, right?